1:10. Let us hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead for our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Friends, hear these words from the Gospel according to John, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Before I pray and start my sermon, I would just like to share that I hate sermon titles. And one of these days, I'm going to just start titling them all Untitled Message, because half of the time I choose a title on Monday or Tuesday, and by Sunday morning when the sermon happens, the title has nothing to do with the sermon. Today is one of those days. So feel free to cross off the sermon title in your bulletin and write in clickbait, because that makes more sense for today's sermon than whatever I emailed Susan earlier this week before I actually wrote the sermon. Please pray with me. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. We love a good before and after story. Cinderella is a timeless classic for a reason. We love watching the underdog triumph and become the beautiful princess. The Frog Prince and Beauty and the Beast encourage us to be kind to all, because you don't know who will blossom into something wonderful. We all love that scene in Pretty Woman in which Vivian walks into the fancy boutique and confronts the shopwoman who refused to wait on her the day before because of her appearance. Think of all the makeover shows out there throughout the years. What Not to Wear and Queer Eye. They take someone with low self-esteem and a dated closet, and by the end of the episode, the target of the makeover has a new wardrobe, a new skincare routine, and a new outlook on life. We love to assist the fashionistas in their critiques of the person too, agreeing that the frumpy makeover E needs to ditch the ratty kiss t-shirts as we sit on the couch in our sweatpants and our own version of a ratty kiss t-shirt. But we're not monsters, because in spite of our willingness to indulge the cattiness and the snark at the beginning of the show, we really are rooting for the person. And by the end of it, we, and I say we because even if I'm the only one in the room who does this, it makes me feel better about myself if I include you in this as co-offenders. By the end of it, we are crying right alongside the makeoveree's family at the joy of how lovely they look with a new haircut and a new pair of well-fitted jeans. How much internet clickbait? You know, the flashy headlines that leave you hanging so you have to click. How much of that is something like, this person spent 30 days drinking nothing but water and the results are incredible? Or, local hero takes homeless man to barber and you won't believe how he cleans up. We love watching someone who is down and out in some way get their happily ever after. Even if that means we tend to gloss over the fact that while only drinking water is healthy, it's only a piece of the health puzzle. Or that giving a homeless man a haircut is nice, but it doesn't make him or anyone else any less homeless. Most of us don't give much more thought to the targets of Queer Eye makeovers 3 years ago. We like a good before and after story, when the after is one happy point in time, and we can leave the story there, the end. Both of these passages this morning are beautiful before and afters, but through the ages, we have had a tendency to use them as clickbait. They've been hollowed out of their deepest and most powerful message, as if the rest is just that happily ever after point in time. I was a wreck. Jesus showed up. Now everything's perfect. You should try it too. We read John 3:16 and fail to move on to the rest of the passage. We read in Ephesians, you have been saved, and skip that part about what the result of that is, other than our own personal salvation. Now, anyone who's ever heard me preach before, which is many people in this room today, knows I am not the sort to say we can behave our ways into salvation. I'm not on the works side of the old faith versus works debate. But faith is not just a one-time makeover after which we are a fully changed person. It's not God taking us to get a haircut and leaving off the rest of our life as being relevant in any way. God cares about what happens to us after the credits of the makeover show. It matters to God that there is abundant life for us after the haircut. God cares about our long-term life and well-being. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I once heard a preacher refer to faith in Jesus as the golden ticket into heaven, as if the only thing that mattered was the moment a person prayed a specific prayer, and that we weren't part of anything bigger than a bunch of individual people trying to escape the physical world someday. For the record, making John 3:16 about only that one moment is just clickbait. It's taking a rich, beautiful, theologically deep passage and making it a quick little feel-good moment. Saying we have faith in Jesus is simply a first step in living into our full identity, the wholeness of who we are. Being changed by our faith doesn't mean that we have prayed a prayer that magically made us less sinful. It means that we recognize we've got a higher calling than the life we were living before God grabbed a hold of us and shook some sense into us. This higher calling is one that, by virtue of our faith, we are fully equipped for. each of us in wild and wonderful and unique ways. So not only do we get this beautiful rags to riches story where once we were trapped in darkness and sin, we get this great work to do in the happily ever after part, where we make sure to make known that God so loved the world, not just individual me or individual you. And because of that, there's a whole new way for the world to operate if we will let it. One of the commentaries I read this week said this: "For God so loved the world." It is possible to read the whole of Scripture from the creation to the eschaton as God's love story for the world. It was, after all, love that stirred God's heart at the pleading of the slaves in Egypt, and love that offered them both the guidance of the law and the security of the promised land. Thereafter, whenever inequality or injustice threatened the welfare of the poor and the powerless, and therefore the whole people, God's love raised up prophets who declared God's desire for compassion, shown not just to insiders, but also to sojourners and foreigners within the boundaries of Israel. God saves us not because of the good we do in the world. God saves us out of love for us and for all the people around us in order for us to do good in the world. Here's where it gets really exciting, dear ones. There is something different about those who take this to heart. You may already be picturing some in your mind who you know take this to heart. It's not in some supernatural ability to stop sinning or the power of knowing they are in the group for some heavenly tomorrow. It's not in fake niceness that has been learned as a sign that someone is cool with Jesus. These people see the world now through a different lens. They interact with family, friends, the community, the church, with honesty, integrity, honor, hard work, genuine friendship, humor, real Christian love. They see the best in people and expect them to be the people that God created them to be. They seek to find and care for everyone, to make sure that not a corner of the world God loved this very much is left in darkness. Friends, Scripture tells us that those who place their faith in Christ begin to see the world in a new way. A light shines in the dark places, and everything looks different. And when the faithful begin to see the light of Christ in the world rather than darkness, they begin to reflect the light of Christ as well. And this perspective allows us to see past the clickbait, to create a long-lasting story of compassion and redemption. It allows us to see that each person is so much more than the thing they used to be or still are before this magic moment that turned them into or will turn them into the end of a fairy tale. There is enough of God's love for everyone, and our after is sharing that love with everyone in our community. If we truly believe the words in our scriptures today, we will see so much love poured out from God that we have no choice but to pour it out for others. For God so loved the world profoundly, radically, without exception, by offering the most precious gift in the universe. May you all go forth today loving those around you profoundly, radically, and without exception. Amen.